Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And we are here today. It's a beautiful spring day, and we're going to talk with a guest that I interviewed in Florida, Dr. Sandy Duran, and we're going to talk to her about some of the resources for homeschooling.
You know, families. As a homeschooling parent, and that was one of the things that always left me feeling quite alone, is I didn't know where resources were, I didn't know how to find stuff, and sometimes I felt like I was on an island by myself.
You know, in the education world, we say, what a child doesn't learn by March, they're not going to learn. And so I've always tried to craft my lessons to be really fun, involving a lot of outdoor activity, because of course I want the kids to keep learning even though it's April. So my challenge to everyone is to get out there and see how you can incorporate your lessons into great outdoor experiences. It's well worth the learning opportunities. Well, thank you for joining us in our conversation with Dr. Sandy Duran. Sandy, your show has been so well received.
Oh, good.
We have done it twice now. We've actually played the hour show, and then we did a half-hour version of it. And it gave so much hope to our listeners, those parents who maybe felt a little inadequate with having ADHD children and things like that. And we thought we'd come back and see how things are going for you right now and talk about some of the support that you have on the web for that.
Yes, okay. Well, as you probably know, this all started many years ago when I discovered that my own son had a bit of a challenge, and we had a bit of a challenge raising him. And then I was able to gradually find resources and get my doctorate and begin to help him and begin to speak. And about 5 years ago, I set up my own website, theteachertrack.com, and began providing resources for teachers right there on the website, and began to do a lot of speaking. And a lot of it has been by word of mouth, but in the past few years, I've been to the Bahamas, and I've been to California, and to the East Coast, etc. So I've been doing a little speaking on various topics having to do with children.
It sounds like the Bahamas sound like a great place. Now, so in the Bahamas, do they experience ADHD?
Of course. Yes.
So it's a universal thing.
Yes, they can't just jump and swim in the lagoon and get over it. But actually, I've been doing a lot of speaking to schools and to groups that work with children in terms of not only ADHD, but how do you help a child in math? What are the best practices in reading and literacy? In writing, how do you get children's writing scores to improve? You know, we've done a lot with balanced literacy, is what we call it, having to do with reading and writing, reading comprehension, decoding, all of that. Now, the big emphasis is on the math, because a lot of the reading and writing scores are beginning to come up in some of the schools, and now everybody's looking at math. So we're starting. I actually now have a downloadable workshop. I've started that, where somebody can just click on that, and for $35, they can get an hour workshop on how to improve your math scores. So we're looking a little more at that now.
Well, explain each feature of your website.
Okay.
Let's start with, a parent's... Well, first of all, what is the website address?
Okay. It's www.theteachertrack.com. Just remember the three T's.
Theteachertrack.com.
Right.
And you don't have to be a teacher to go to the website.
Right, right. Definitely. There's a lot of resources there. I'll tell you about some of the buttons. One of the buttons that's my favorite, I call Top Picks. And when you click on Top Picks, you go right into my personal library, and you then have different buttons in there, and I give a little description of each of the books. So you might have some books on math that you're interested in, and some people now, a lot of people are asking questions, what's Singapore math? So you have books on Singapore math, 8-step model drawing, number talks, I also have books on strategic change. Now, these are not books that I've authored. These are books in my personal library that I recommend. You get a link right to the book so that you can order it from Amazon right then and there. The strategic change area, I have books on crucial conversations, for example. You know, how do you really confront somebody and have a meaningful conversation? Maybe you've been avoiding emotional intelligence, etc. And you know something funny, in addition to all this literacy and math and growth and change and educational topics, I have some bonus items on there. That is, I have a tab on there that says just for you. And I thought if people have special questions, I don't care if it has anything to do with education or children, I'm going to put it on there. And it just so happens that my husband cannot have wheat. He is allergic to wheat. And everybody says, Sandy, how on earth do you cook for somebody that's wheat-free, meat-free? So I have on just for you, I have some recipes and the bonus items. I have some things that you can order through Amazon to make these things, like the special chopper and all of this stuff. So if anybody has something they really want to know about, I aim to please here, but I have gotten questions.
So a parent can, or a teacher can contact you and you have, that's been the inspiration for some of the things on the Just For You tab?
It was just that whenever I went to different workshops, somehow this came up and people said, how on earth, what do you make? And I said, okay, I'm just going to put it on the website. So I added that button. So if somebody has another question, I could put it on there.
that's the
top picks section. I even have fun tech tools and software recommendations and various things on there. And we do have a store that has the materials that I have produced myself, and that we have children's stories. We do have the DVDs on teaching tips having to do with how to teach reading. We do have units for teachers that they can get literature units, and we have the CDs on attention deficit disorder. So we do have a number of things there that I've produced. I will be bringing back a book that I wrote. Oh, my goodness. I'm giving my age away here. A book that I probably wrote about 27 years ago, because my oldest son is 27 and he was just born when it came out. But it's called Nobody's Boy. And I'm going to bring that back. That was the story of my dad had a very difficult childhood. And of course, I am the sister of Mark Finley. Some people may know him. And so this book is about Mark Finley's father and all of his adventures in life. And I have the DVD that I will be packaging with that when Mark interviewed him in New York City about the difficult life. So that will be on there when I get that done.
Wow. You know, Nobody's Boy, we've just been talking extensively about spiritual pains. I think God is impressing a general need for across denominations, spirituality, and part of that is spiritual pain. In the book, Nobody's Boy really does bring home the idea that even though a child comes from such a difficult background, look at the wonderful legacy then he's produced in his children.
Yeah, it really is truly unbelievable. When you look at my dad, he doesn't know where he came from. One of his earliest memories is being in a train, and he had stayed with an uncle in the South, and he was all by himself having to go from Georgia to New York City. And what a life he had there, from Hell's Kitchen to Harlem. And he'd come home, and there'd be a note on the door that said, "We moved," and he'd have to find the new address. So there's a lot of connections in there, I think, that people can relate to. You know, he went through the depression, of course, and then he lied about his age and joined the Navy at 17, and how God took him from such a difficult background and just put his feet on an amazing track. I think it'll be very encouraging to people, and now that we'll package it up with the DVD, it'll be nice.
So, yes, that sounds like a wonderful product. I'm so glad you're bringing it back.
Yeah. So back to the website. I also have a links tab, and I have some of my favorite links there. For example, what if you have a child and they're having trouble reading? Well, I have a link on there where you can get some free reading materials that it would help you tutor a child. So, I mean, it's free, so there you go. You know, I found things like that. I have a link on there that, you know, if you want a child to be a good writer and you're trying to help them, what if you feel beaten down yourself as a writer? Many people mm-hmm. feel like, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I'm not a very good writer. Well, here's a place where you can go on a weekend and take a writer's workshop yourself and feel energized about your own writing. So we have mm-hmm. some interesting links on there.
That's great. And it's all wonderful support for homeschooling parents, for parents who want to supplement their own child's traditional education, and maybe yourself. Maybe you want to do it yourself. In fact, as I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking I'm going to go there, and I'm going to take that little writer's workshop myself. We're going to take a break right here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk in depth about different strategies per subject. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Do you think Jesus will come in our lifetime?
I must be careful how I answer your question. If I say yes, I'm suggesting that I know as much as God, which I certainly don't. The Bible says no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, Mark 13:32 NIV. Be very wary of people who say they figured out the month or year of Christ's return. They're trying to play God. If you rephrase your question and ask, do you want Jesus to come, or are you preparing for Jesus to come in our lifetime, my answer is a resounding yes. Why? Because all the biblical signs are pointing to a soon return. All the prophecies concerning the second coming have been or are being fulfilled. The conditions for his return are just like Jesus said they'd be. As a matter of fact, that's been true ever since Christ rose from the dead. When Jesus comes is his business. Getting ready to meet him, that's ours. Behold, announces Christ in Revelation 22:12 NIV, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. With John I shout, Come, Lord Jesus! If you'd like to learn more about God and his amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. We're talking with Sandra Duran, and you've been sharing with us some of the features of your website, and I want to make sure we get through all that before we go into some strategies per subject. So let's finish describing your website, and then we'll ask for some strategies.
Okay, all right. Well, my speaking schedule is on there, so if you want to see if I am coming to a city near you, you can check that out. There are free downloads. I have a free download button, and there are parenting articles. Some articles that I had previously published I've put on there. We have teacher helps. We have a reading readiness assessment that you can do for a child to find out how they're doing and getting ready to read. Some of my presentations are there on the free downloads, so that's a helpful thing. And also, I wanted to tell you I do have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page. Okay, the website is www.theteachertrack.com, and the Facebook page is The Teacher Track. When you go on there, you can sign up if you become a fan of the teacher track. You just have to say that you like the teacher track. Then you can get my feeds and you'll know when I'm putting things on there as I travel and different ideas come to mind. And the YouTube channel, again, The Teacher Track. I probably now have about 20 little video clips on there that you can watch free of charge and things that may be helpful to you.
That sounds great. Okay, let's start with, let's just go through this, the subjects, the different disciplines. Let's start with reading. Reading is seems to be the foundation for everything else. What should a parent of a young child do to encourage a good literacy foundation?
Great question. A number of things. A lot of parents think, oh man, I got to get my kid to learn the alphabet by the age of two. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do for a young child is to give them very rich experiences in life. Because when it's time for them to read, if they've never seen a duck and they look at a book and they only think a duck is a flat yellow thing, they won't really be connecting. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but rhyming is the very basis of beginning to hear the way words differ, and it's a foundational thing that has to happen before a child learns to read. So if you have a child that's preschool 4 or 5, around that age, rhyming should be something that you're doing, is playing games with rhyming, singing songs, and that will get them ready to hear and manipulate sounds, because it's all about hearing individual sounds and words.
Yes, I remember the first time that my grandson saw a real live little lamb, and we had always read books. You know, we did the Lord is My Shepherd, and there was always little lambs in it, and oh man, did he bat so hard. I mean, he just bat that little lamb, and the lamb bat back, and I mean, just every pore in his body was just so excited because it all made sense now. This is a real little lamb.
Yes, that's it. It's making those real life connections, you know.
Now let's go to math. Math has traditionally been a challenge both in public and private schools in the United States. We are behind all of the other civilized countries almost when it comes to math. So what can that parent do to provide a foundation for math and also maybe supplement what isn't being covered at school?
Yes. Well, a parent wants to realize, again, with a young child, that they have to have a sense of numeracy. So in other words, if you say to a child, I want 10 of something, you want them to have a rough idea of what, I'm going to say, of what 10-ness is like.
Yes.
You know, if you have some dots on a paper, you know, could that child kind of look at that and have a rough idea, you know, this is a lot or a little bit. You know, for the very young ones, they begin doing that. They begin counting. They begin logically estimating. I think that's something that has kind of fallen off. Now, I have something on my The Teacher Track YouTube channel called Ladder Division, which is a much, much easier way to do this double-digit division, where you don't have to guess the exact amount when you're saying, let's say you're saying 58 into 2,962. You don't have to estimate 58 into 259 and get the exact amount in order for this to work. You could say 10 times 58 is 580, and you're putting a 10 on the side. You're subtracting the 580 from the 2,000 plus. Then you could say, okay, I got enough. Let me try 580 again. Let me put another 10, because division is really repeated subtraction. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to guess the exact number. And if you understand estimating, you understand some of these big pictures, you can just make it a lot easier for these kids. So there are some methods. We don't have to do everything the old way and give everybody headaches.
Yeah, as a teacher, I was so frustrated because estimation was such a challenge for my students, because we taught first front end estimation.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And then, you know, all these different ways instead of just taking one way to estimate and make sure that they really had that. They would come out of that so confused, and I would too.
Yes. That's it. I remember when I was the principal of a school, having teachers coming to my office and saying, I don't understand the difference between front-end estimation and the other kind. And I was like, oh my goodness, if they don't understand it, what about the poor kids?
Yes.
So there are some easier ways to do things.
Now, you mentioned something about Singapore math. What is that?
Yes. There are a lot of people now who are beginning teaching Singapore math. I found out, interestingly enough, that before I even knew about Singapore math, many years ago, like I said, my kids are in their 20s, they, when they were in school, were doing some things. The teachers had brought in some strategies that came from Singapore math, but they just didn't call it that. Mm-hmm. But Singapore math has a number of core elements to it. One of them is building this idea of numeracy, and they have different ways of doing that, which in the downloadable math workshop, I do have a few things on there. They're very big on problem solving, and they have 8-step model drawing, so that you identify who is in the problem, and then you draw these unit bars, and it helps the problem just come to life for you. And you take some of these standard kinds of problems, and they give you these ways of drawing. They give a lot of different strategies so that children then can choose and have these different tools in their toolbox. And so we're finding it quite effective to use some of these strategies. I would not recommend for teachers or for anybody to throw out all their textbooks and go strictly with Singapore textbooks. I would just recommend that they learn the strategies and bring those into what they're already doing.
Yes, because I've seen a lot of homeschool curriculum, Singapore math, Singapore mm-hmm. math. And it's expensive to change.
Right, right.
And so if there's a
right.
way you can incorporate... Yeah.
You definitely can.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'd recommend.
Now, what about media and the young child? What is your opinion about all of this? There was a recent study out, and these young children have some type of screen in front of them a mammoth amount of time.
Yes.
And then I've noticed now in attending the National Association for the Education mm-hmm. of Young Children, there was booth after booth of... You know, even a center table that was a kind of a light table that was all electronic.
Right, right. I mean, it's the wave of the future. You know, we have to know that this is where it is. Again, you want balance. You don't want kids just glued to a screen. But on the other side, I've really been thinking, and I've been talking a little bit about this on my Facebook page, that because now of the iPad and all these apps and how kids are intrigued with it, we're going to have in kindergarten in a few years a huge gap, because you have kids that are learning their alphabet and all these different things in fun ways through these iPads, and then you're going to have kids in a whole other side of town with a whole different socioeconomic status, and those kids are going to come in. They haven't had the technology, and so the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. I think we're going to get a big gap. Mm. And I think it's going to be more and more challenging to teach kindergartners because of that.
Yes.
I do have to say, I went to visit a family member who has a 2-year-old who said, oh, look what my 2-year-old can do on the iPad. Well, the next thing you know, I was downloading some of these apps, and now my 2-year-old granddaughter, when she comes into the house, the first thing she says is, can I see your iPad, Grandma? So we've been bit by the bug here, for better or for worse.
Oh, that's so true. Well, we've talked about math and reading and technology, and I know that the time allotment for our show is running out, so I'm going to let you take us out with anything that I might have forgotten to ask you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd just be happy to talk with people, and please visit the website, leave me a comment, and if you have particular questions or anything, just leave them right up there on the Facebook page, message me, and I would be very, very happy to interact with you.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.